Welcome to Birth on Film, a podcast discussing and analysing depictions of pregnancy, birth, and the postpartum in popular culture. We are your hosts, Emma, a midwife,
and James, her mid-husband, coming to you from Ngunnawal country in the Australian Capital Territory.
Welcome to episode 6 and the 2007 movie Juno,
starring Elliot Page and Michael Cera. And for the purposes of this review, we will be referring to Juno, the character, as she. And we'll probably never mention Elliot Page ever again, but there he.
The synopsis of this movie is, when precocious teen Juno McGuff becomes pregnant, she chooses a failed rock star and his wife to adopt her unborn child. Complications occur when Mark, the prospective father, begins viewing Juno as more than just the mother of his future child, putting both his marriage and the adoption in jeopardy. This movie was directed by Jason Reitman and written by Diablo Cody. It cost $6.5 million to make, and it took in $232.3 million at the box office.
It's a pretty huge ratio.
Yeah.
Pretty successful. It had a 94% critic score on Rotten Tomatoes and 88% audience score, which is, I think, probably one of the highest we've rated.
Really well received.
You've seen this movie before? I'd never seen it before.
I've seen this movie a couple of times. I saw it probably at the cinema because of its rave reviews, that it was a really important movie for cinema that year. I'm pretty sure it won the Oscar for Best Screenplay.
Yeah, it won Best Screenplay and was nominated for Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actress under the Academy Awards.
Yeah.
And then has a bunch of other nominations and many, many other wins. So it was a very well-received film. I'm not sure which medium this was, but I only ever saw it as an ad, possibly on DVDs. All I knew about it prior to this was that there was something about birth in it and that she drinks a lot of orange juice.
Yes.
That's the only thing I knew.
Which is where this movie opens.
Yes.
We start the movie with the text autumn, and we see Juno standing on someone's lawn looking at an abandoned lounge chair, drinking a huge bottle of orange juice. Like a 3 litre. Yeah, 3 litre. Juno laments, it all started with a chair. And then we get images of her stripping down and glimpses of somebody else with their bare knees and bare chest.
Yeah. I think we see enough of Michael Cera's face to know that it's Michael Cera, except we wouldn't have in 2007.
Yes.
Now we go, oh, that's Michael Cera. But at the time you go, who's that guy?
Yes. And it's definitely alluding to the fact that they're going to have sex in the chair.
Very awkward teenage sex.
Then Juno heads into the drugstore to pick out a pregnancy test. And she goes to the counter and says to the guy there, the last one was defective.
Yeah, so she's tried 3 pregnancy tests from, I think, different brands.
And then we get the sort of classic scene of her headed to the toilet and peeing on the pregnancy test. Surprise, surprise, the pregnancy test comes up positive.
Yeah, he buys some red licorice in a long string and walks home, I think.
Yes, says the line in there somewhere, that little pink plus sign is so unholy. So heads home, briefly pretends that the long red lolly is a noose.
Yeah, comically necks herself on a tree outside her house, I think.
Yes.
For a moment before biting through it and then going inside.
Goes into her very teenage bedroom.
Yeah, so we get the vibes at this point that, well, we kind of already did in the previous scene, but that she's a weird girl. She's not a cheerleader. She's not the sporty girl. She's the weird girl.
Yes. And we see her contemplating making a phone call.
Yeah, on her hamburger phone.
Yes. And she eventually calls her best friend,
whose name is Leah. She has a conversation with her, and Leah is not in denial, but doesn't believe it's real. Asks her, is it a food baby? Kind of assumes that she's being silly about it. And then asks, for real, for real? For real, for real. Are you going to go to Haversbrook or Women Now?
Yeah.
Not noting what those two things are. And then Juno replies, I was thinking about Women Now because it's Women Now.
Mm.
So we're taking the implication that those are abortion providers in this area. But then they go and take that chair that we talked about earlier.
So then we have a flashback to when Juno and Bleeker started dating. They're in Spanish class and Bleeker passes a note back to her that's been sort of decorated, asking to go on a date. I can't remember how it's worded, but it's quite talky.
I think at this point she says to Leah, in that flashback or in contemporary times looking at that flashback that she loves him.
Then we see her set up with the chair out the front of Bleecker's house.
Waiting for him to finish his really dorky routine and get dressed to run.
Yes.
And come out the door.
And he comes out the door and Juno says, hey, guess what? I'm pregnant.
And he has a moment of emotions. And then he says, what should we do?
Yes. And she says, I'm going to nip it in the bud.
Before it gets worse.
Yes.
Pregnancy leads to infants, I've heard. She doesn't say the words, I'm going to go get an abortion, but she implies it heavily that that's probably what she's going to do.
Yes. It's just so nonchalant.
Yeah.
It could have almost been a joke that she set up this lounge suite out the front of his house and is saying, I'm pregnant. And his reaction is just so...
understated?
Yes.
Yeah.
He just carries on with his day. In fact, they both do. Yeah. The next scene is them at school... in science class.
Doing a chromatography lab.
Nothing really signifying the weight of what is happening to them.
I feel like the character, Juno's character at least, is pretty clear that this is a big deal. She's just not outwardly engaging with it.
True.
Yeah.
Then we see Juno make a phone call to Women Now.
Where she asks for to procure their services for a hasty abortion.
She tells them that it's been 2 months and 4 days since she had sex.
Yes. She also mentions that she is 16.
Yes.
So just to frame us up, we got that down. So what do you think about 2 months and 4 days? She is not showing at this point. She just looks like a normal 16-year-old.
I mean, it tracks. So 2 months, 4 days, she'd be 10 weeks pregnant. Mm. So she would have missed a couple of periods, perhaps without noticing, and then realized, oh, hang on, I don't have my period, or I should, you know, maybe starting to feel a bit sick. We do see her... around this point, vomiting into an urn at home.
Yeah, it's put down to the fact that she drank 16 ounces of blue goo.
Yes.
Blue slushy.
But probably because she's got morning sickness.
I believe the next scene is her showing up at Women Now, where she comes across a fellow student.
A lone protester.
Yeah, just all by herself saying...
all babies want to get born.
Except I think she's saying borned.
Yes.
I think the movie thinks it's making fun of people who protest abortion clinics because she's just this loner who's doing it and doing it wrong. They have a bit of a conversation and the anti-abortionist says, the baby probably has a heartbeat, fingernails, and can feel pain, which all of which seem to surprise Juno.
But Juno is most surprised by the fingernails?
Yeah, fingernails.
So we see Juno in the waiting room after having a bit of an awkward interaction with the girl at the front desk.
Yeah, who both seems like she could not care less to be there, but then also really wants to provide Juno, like, a condom and some advice about sex.
Yes.
About good sex, I think.
And then panic sets in for Juno. She's looking around the room at the other women waiting nervously, some visibly pregnant, and hightails it out of there.
On the way out, the anti-abortionist says to her, God appreciates your miracle.
Yes. She calls her best friend and says, I'm staying pregnant, and describes the clinic as smelling like a dentist's office.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much the reason why she left.
Yeah. Very much a masking of the real issues at play here, and that she's probably thinking about all of the horrible things she's heard. She's saying that she doesn't want to be there because it smells like a dentist's office. She's got a million other reasons that she doesn't want to be there that she cannot process right now.
Yes. The best friend tries to be helpful by telling her that she's going to get huge and that she's going to lactate.
I'm pretty sure she says the words milktate.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
I knew it was said in a way that I was like, they're so close but not quite right.
Yeah.
She then tells the best friend, it's fine, I'm just going to adopt this baby out.
Yeah.
And the best friend was like, oh, well, yeah, you can find ads in the paper. So they start reading adoption ads together. And Juno laments that none of them seem particularly interesting, that she wants someone edgier.
Yeah, that all these people are too wholesome.
Yes.
And then they come across this lovely photo of Jason Bateman and Jennifer Garner, who are Mark
and Vanessa. Vanessa.
And she kind of gets a good vibe off them and then thinks that, yeah, they're the ones.
We then have this sort of awkward scene of them telling Juno's parents. Leah's supporting her in this occasion. They've sat down, Juno's dad and her stepmom. We've previously sort of had an explanation that her biological mum is long gone and does not care about Juno. They're sort of panicking that something's wrong and trying to work out what it is. And they think either she's been expelled or she's doing hard drugs.
After this, lament that they wish that it had been one of those two things, that yes. they were hoping that it wasn't that she was pregnant. But yeah, she tells them that she's pregnant and that it was Bleeker.
Yes.
And
that she's going to adopt the baby out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And says in that, we can pretend like this never happened.
Yeah.
As if this huge, momentous thing is just going to be forgotten.
She also says she's had no dumps since Wednesday and that she has really bad heartburn.
Her stepmom tries to warn her off adoption, but Juno is quite firm that she's really not ready to be a mum. And the stepmom sort of tries to bring it back to, well, there are other options. You could get an abortion.
Yeah.
But Juno's firm that this is the path. She's going to have a baby and she's going to adopt it out.
We don't really have any insight into why she makes that choice, though. It's not because the abortion clinic smells like a dentist's office that she decided that abortion isn't for her, right?
Yes.
That's not a reasonable reason for this character to decide that.
No.
There's more to it, but we don't know what that is.
No, we don't really get any insight.
She wants to think about it as a baby, and she wants to think about that baby having a good life, but she knows she can't do it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's that.
We then see the meeting between Mark and Vanessa, the adoptive parents,
yep.
and their lawyer.
Yep.
With Juno and her dad.
Yep.
In the scene, Juno says she's now 12 weeks pregnant and she'd seen the doctor the day before and that everything is looking great.
We get the vibe of the adoptive parents that they are somewhat uptight and affluent.
It's sort of implied that they've gone from the poor part of town where they live to the wealthier side of town. We see the houses getting bigger and
yeah.
the cars getting fancier.
I think there's a lot in this movie that is middle America that we don't have context for.
Yes, it's different I'm sure. Here. They start to negotiate what the adoption will look like. And Juno says, can't we keep this old school?
Yeah.
Meaning a closed adoption, not wanting any contact with the child going forward.
It's made pretty obvious that she's got a terrible education about sexual reproduction because she doesn't know what a trimester is. And that Vanessa says something about pregnancy being beautiful and Juno saying you're lucky it's not you, and we have like this non-spoken interaction where Vanessa is sad that she's not able to have a baby and yes. Juno's kind of lamenting that she is having a baby. They go on to talk about how they will compensate her for her medical expenses. Is there anything else you'd like to be compensated for? Question mark, leading question, to which the reply is no, let's just get the baby out. I'm not holding you ransom or anything. Let's just do this baby transaction.
We then see Juno starting to bond with Mark.
Yeah.
She sort of sneaks off into the house to go and use the toilet, but then
she has a snoop.
Finds Mark and then he shows her his music room. They start playing some music together. Vanessa comes to find them. She is played very much as the uptight wife in this, that yeah. she spoils their fun.
This like establishes a relationship between Juno and Mark where they bond over music and they bond over the trashy pop culture that they're both into, which to begin with seems like it's not a problem. Like,
no.
Getting to know each other is fine. This whole set of scenes with the families together really puts the perspective on it that these are two very different types of families in education and wealth and perspective of life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, it really highlights the difference in maturity. We then time skip. We're told that it's now winter. Bleeker is running and someone runs up next to him and asks if he's heard the rumor about Juno being pregnant and that he's the father.
Yeah.
He is still very nonchalant about it at this point.
Yep, very awkward.
Then we see Juno and she's looking much more pregnant. At school, struggling a little bit.
So during the day, Bleeker had asked her, you want to come to the movies tonight? We're going to do something with donuts in a movie. And she's like, no, I've actually got like adult responsibilities. I've got to go get an ultrasound for my baby that you made. And he's kind of like, should I come with you? And she's like, no, no. And he clearly has very little involvement or like awareness of yes. this baby. Like he's very much periphery to her. As much as he might like her and she might like him, he's not a baby daddy.
No. Yeah, so she goes off to the ultrasound. It just looks like, yeah, normal ultrasound. I would guess by looking at the ultrasound and by her size that it's probably like a 20-week ultrasound.
Mm.
So we have a really awkward interaction at the end of the ultrasound where Juno says something about Mark and Vanessa.
The ultrasound lady asks, oh, are these your friends at school?
Yes, and then Juno explains, no, they're going to adopt the baby. And the stenographer says, well, thank goodness for that.
I think she says that it's toxic to raise a child when you're a teenager.
Yes. And it's really awkward but also really sad that
yeah.
this woman has just made this huge assumption about Juno being a terrible mum.
Based on nothing, yeah.
Based on the fact that she's 16.
Her stepmom and Leah are there with her, and her stepmom goes to bat for her. She takes the ultrasound technician to task. I think what it does to Juno, though, aside from shows her that her stepmom's on her team, kind of reinforces that the world thinks she can't do it.
Yes.
And she, like, probably internalizes this more than we really see in this moment.
Juno then heads over to Vanessa and Mark's house to show off the ultrasound pictures. Vanessa's not home, but Mark is. We see more like bonding over music and pop culture. I will say there's a really awful moment in this scene. At least I found it really awful, where I think Juno's saying about that she didn't find out the sex of the baby.
Yeah.
Because she wants it to be a surprise. And Mark says something like, oh, what's surprising about it being a boy or a girl?
Yeah.
And Juno jokes about scary neuter babies.
Yes, that's right.
And I hated that joke in this because it totally makes fun of the fact that there are intersex people in the world.
And guess what? Them's cool people.
Yes.
They're just as much people as the rest of us.
No, yeah. And that I just found it really awful that they were just making fun of a population that very much exist.
The other thing that's in the scene, and all of the scenes where they're bonding, is we get this unraveling of Mark's story that he doesn't really want a kid. He's kind of not in this for the kid.
He has been trying to have a music career, has ended up writing tunes for ads.
Jingles,
yes. Yeah. Whilst that brings in money, it's not what he expected of life, and that he's not particularly happy, and that Vanessa really wants a baby, so he's just sort of going along with things because they've been married for 5 years and they should have a baby by now.
It also feels like he's a kind of a kept man, like he doesn't earn that much money from doing jingles, and that she pays most of the bills and he's a bit of a dead weight on her.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then Vanessa gets home and she's really stressed about work, but she is happy to see Juno and happy to see the ultrasound. Then shows Juno all the baby things she's been buying.
Yeah.
And Juno says, why would you go and buy things like when you're going to have a baby shower? And Vanessa says, well, actually, I'm not going to have a baby shower because it's really awkward when you're adopting and you feel like you can't do the normal things. And then alludes to the fact that they've had an adoption fall through already, that the person got cold feet.
Is this the normal way an adoption in the United States happens? You put an ad in the paper and you just kind of make a private arrangement?
I don't know about the ad in the paper, but certainly pregnant women can elect, like prior to the birth of the baby, to adopt out the baby. And then they sort of do enter an arrangement where their medical expenses are covered or that they're compensated for those medical expenses. But the adoption then isn't finalized until the baby is born, and the time frame on when the adoption takes place depends on where you are. So some states allow you to adopt at birth.
Right.
And then some require you to wait a week, and some, I think, require you to even wait 28 days. Birth mother can change your mind. It's not beyond the realm of possibility that that's happened to them already, which obviously then would take some of the excitement out of preparing for a new baby. Juno gets home. Has a bit of a interaction with her stepmom and tells her where she's been. And her stepmom warns her about Mark, about him being a married man.
Yeah, you can't just drop in on a married man.
Then Juno heads over to Bleeker's house and tells him about the adoption. This is the point where she tells him.
They also have a bit of a conversation about their relationship and that he thinks she's beautiful still, even pregnant.
Then Juno catches sight of Vanessa in the mall.
Yeah. Juno and Leah are just mall running around doing teenage things, and Vanessa's out with a friend and their kid.
They run into each other, and Juno mentions that the baby's been kicking a lot, and Vanessa, in the middle of the shopping centre, kneels down with Juno's belly bared and feels for the baby, gets like a kick back. Another little time skip here, and the word spring comes up on the screen. We see the stepmom making adjustments to Juno's clothes.
Yeah, which is a thing that Juno had previously said she dreads, is when they elasticate your jeans.
Yes, and her stepmom is elasticating her jeans. She's also looking much more pregnant.
Yeah, properly pregnant now. So much so that when she's walking through the school, the very packed corridors of your typical Midwestern American schools part before her like the Red Sea.
Yes. And she says that she's honing in on 8 months. She started to wear a bra.
That's right.
And that she's eating all the food.
And she calls Mark for no apparent reason, but they have this weird conversation about music that kind of comes off as somewhat flirty.
Yes.
But I don't know that Juno notices that that's what it comes off as.
No. She then also has a fight with Leica.
Yeah, she finds out that Bleeka is going to prom with some other girl. She's mad about that and mad
about... Also, I think just emotional in herself. She says to Bleeka that she feels like the size of a planet.
Yeah, she's got the pregnant waddle going as well now.
Yes, she's nearing the end of pregnancy and she's just not feeling all that great about everything. I think it's this sort of acknowledgement that for him, life is just going on exactly how it was, but for her, everything's changing, and it's really not fair. We then see Juno go and visit Mark, and she arrives at the house and says, "Is Vanessa here?" And he says, "No." And there's sort of like this, like, yay moment.
Yeah.
Mark takes her down into the basement and shows her a comic that he'd bought in Japan.
Most Fruitful Yuki. A superhero who is pregnant and a teenager and uses a samurai sword.
And Juno thinks it's really cool. It's all a bit awkward here, where Mark is clearly having emotion for Juno. Like, likes Juno.
Yeah.
And I don't think Juno's reading that.
No, Juno's just like, this is a cool older man who has cool guitars and has cool comics and has music tastes that I, like, make fun of him for but learn stuff about.
This is going to be the father of my child that I'm growing.
And maybe I'll be friends with him.
Yes.
Maybe.
Yes, but he's definitely seeing her more as something else.
The other woman. Mm. But she does not. And she's 16. He's 16.
Yes.
He's 35, 40, 50. I don't know. Older than 30, anyway.
Yes.
So they talk about school dances a little bit. And then she, like she probably would with any of her male friends, is like making fun of dancing and goes to dance with him. They do a slow dance together. And he like adjusts the grips. He makes it more intimate than it was. And more serious. And they're like swaying romantically, I guess, to this music. And he goes, "I'm leaving Vanessa."
What a bombshell to drop on a 16-year-old. "I'm going to leave my wife, the person you've chosen to adopt the baby that you're growing.
The one, I'm about to destroy this family that you chose as the perfect home for your child."
Yes.
The only thing that's been like keeping you going through this pregnancy is knowing that it's going to go to a nice place.
Yes.
And you're saying that you're going to blow it up.
Juno obviously storms away from him and she runs into Vanessa on the way out. And Vanessa can instantly see that there's tension and something's wrong. We then see her driving away and then pulls the car over and just absolutely
loses it.
Yeah. Bawling her eyes out. Mark and Vanessa continue fighting and then agree to a divorce.
Vanessa says something I thought was worth writing down, which is that women become mothers when they're pregnant, men become fathers when they see the baby. She's just hoping that he's going to correct himself when a baby shows up.
I've heard that saying a lot.
Yeah. What do you think about it?
I don't think it's fair of everybody.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of men do feel connected to the idea of fatherhood in pregnancy.
Yeah.
I think a lot of men do find ways to connect with their unborn children. Maybe not all men. Juno then goes back to their house and drops off a note. And we don't see what's written on the note at this point. Yeah. She's written it on like a random receipt she found in the car.
And even the way Mark picks up the note is like, it's some kind of receipt. And Vanessa instantly knows what it is. And
turns it over. Yeah, and reads. And it
gets the message.
Juno goes home and has a deep and meaningful conversation with her dad about love and about knowing how you're in love and knowing how...
Can couples ever stay together?
Yes.
Yeah. All couples just fall apart. Is that what life is? Is that what love is?
And her poor dad doesn't really know the context for the conversation.
He says that he and the stepmom have been together for 10 years and they're doing pretty well. And while he doesn't have a good track record, they're doing pretty well. And that other people definitely stay together.
Yes.
Find love that lasts.
And that seems to spur Juno on to repair the relationship with Bleeka. Where we'd left it with the prom drama wasn't great. She then sort of professes her love for him.
And then they start smooching real good. Well, you know, awkwardly, but whatever. And Leia leans into the scene and says, "You know, you can go into early labor because of kissing like that, because of sucking face like that."
Yes.
Any facts in there?
No. That's a completely unfounded fact from Leia. You certainly cannot put yourself into early labor by kissing someone.
Mm. They do say that sex can make labor happen. Kissing and sex are very different.
Sex can make labor happen when you're ready to go into labor. There Lika. Is some thought that, you know, when you're ready, when you're full term and your cervix is already starting to change, if you have sex, that the prostaglandins that are in the sperm can help the cervix dilate
yep.
and get things going.
Yeah.
But we do then get to
yeah, there's
the labor.
It's the basically the next scene, and she's just hanging out on the couch being very pregnant.
Yes. We don't know. Some time has passed here, but it's not clear how much yep. time. She's just looking really pregnant, chilling out on the couch, and then she looks really surprised and then yells out to her dad, "I've either just pissed my pants or..." And he's like, "Or what?" And then there's...
She yells, "Thundercats, I'll go."
Yes, which is their sign.
And it's the kickoff for panic.
It is. There's a lot of panic in this moment of everyone trying to get out of the house. They're trying to get Juno to the car. The dad is fussing about. The stepmom is trying to organize the younger sister.
Yeah.
Everyone's just in a real flap.
It goes from 0 to 1,000 very quickly. Then we get to the hospital and dad is arguing with nurses or hospital staff of some kind. Leah is pushing Juno in a wheelchair very recklessly at high speeds down a corridor yes. and smashing into stuff. Then we cut to Juno in a birth room, I think.
She's in a hospital room. She's in a hospital gown.
Yeah.
She is standing up, walking around in labor.
Pacing and complaining that yes. she's in pain.
She's complaining about the pain, complaining that it's too early for an epidural.
She says, "I want a spinal tap." And the mom's like, "It's not called a spinal tap. It's called a
spinal block."
Spinal block, yeah. Do you know what a spinal tap is?
Yes.
Medically speaking?
Yes.
What about pop culture speaking? Your face is dumbfounded. What is this? What are you talking about? It's a documentary that was made to kind of make fun of rock bands called This Is Spinal Tap. And there's this like metal hair band called Spinal Tap. It's uh-huh. very, very, very big cultural touchstone amongst music/comedy fans.
Right.
Yeah. That's why she calls it a spinal tap, because she's a metalhead or like a punk fan or whatever she is.
Right.
Yep.
Yes. And the stepmom corrects her. Yeah. There's a spinal block, but essentially... epidural. Stepmom rushes off, find a doctor to see if they can expedite that epidural. And then we cut to Juno in the hospital bed. Her stepmom is holding one leg. Her best friend is holding the other leg. And she's screaming, pushing. There's some sort of medical person between her legs. We don't really...
Zero details on what they
are. No. And the voiceover goes, and there he was. Just as they present in the air a wet... new bloody. Baby.
Yeah.
Fairly newbornish looking yeah, baby.
A little baby.
With a cord.
With a cord. With a cord and a blood and an appropriate amount of gunk.
Yes.
I feel like. The baby just comes out and then it cuts to the next scene. No yes. cuddles, no chest, none of that. We don't get any mention of afterbirth, placenta, any of that either.
No.
We just go to the next character moment, which is she's laying in the bed and her dad's sitting next to her, stroking her head.
Yeah, he says, "Someday you'll be back here on your own terms."
Yeah. "It'll be your turn." I think a really nice acknowledgement that he realizes what she's going through and that she might not fully understand all the things yet, but she does need to hear that now. That
then we see Bleeker rush in. So Juno hadn't told him that she was in labor.
Yeah, he finishes at the big run or whatever.
And then realizes Juno's not there and makes the assumption that she's in labor, rushes yeah. to the hospital to be with her. The Juno voiceover says that he never sees or holds the baby.
Yeah.
And then we see the baby in the nursery, a little baby boy, and we see Vanessa arrive.
The midwife comes out, pokes her head out and says, "You must be the new mother."
So Vanessa's holding the new baby and the stepmom is at the door. And Vanessa says to her, "How do I look?" And the stepmom says, "Like a new mum. Scared shitless."
Yeah.
But also looks really pleased in that moment.
Scared shitless, but it's the right time for her. It's what she wants. What she needs.
I assume we time skip a little bit, maybe yeah. by a day or two, and we see Vanessa settling in at home with the baby, and we finally see the note.
Framed on the wall above the crib is the note on weird yellow receipt paper saying in big, thick text, "Vanessa, if you're in, I'm still in. Juno."
Mark's out of the picture.
Gone.
But...
get lost, dead, be dead.
Vanessa is all in. We see Juno and Bleeker hanging out. Yeah. Just being teenagers.
Juno blasts out of the house on her bike with a guitar slung across her back and rides across the neighborhood. It's a lot of walking through neighborhoods in this movie. Off to see Bleeker, and they play music and sing a duet on the steps of his house.
Yeah.
And we kind of fade out to reality.
And that's it. We don't see anything about breastfeeding.
I feel like it was worth a mention here that...
We just don't really see much postpartum at all. Apart from seeing Juno briefly in the hospital after she's had the baby, we don't really get told much about what that postpartum recovery looks like for Juno.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we only get the briefest of glimpses of Vanessa with the baby at home. So, was it realistic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like pretty simply, yeah. Everything about it, finding parents so easily and that sort of thing, maybe is unrealistic, but maybe not.
Perhaps downplays some of the emotional baggage and even the logistical.
Yeah, which is fine though. That's like.
Kind of things. Yeah, I mean, they're not glamorous things, right? And yeah. This is a movie at the end of the day. I think the reality that teenagers do get pregnant is...
Can get pregnant the first time.
Yes. I think it's also realistic that they just really didn't know much about that. Because I think sex ed lets a lot of people down, or a lack of sex ed lets a lot of people down. They don't really say, they don't say anything about contraception, whether they used any contraception that failed. We know that they weren't planning to have a baby.
Yeah.
We know that it was his first time having sex.
I think we know it was hers too, or at least it's not.
They like don't say it as explicitly, no. But.
It's not like they list off her sexual partners either.
No.
Yeah.
In that we also know that they were perhaps naive enough about the birds and the bees to end up in this situation. I think, all in all, it is realistic.
Yep.
Was it a positive depiction of pregnancy and birth?
Well, it's much more complex. In terms of how we define what positive means, I guess. Like, she had a good birth. She had a good pregnancy in terms of, like, just health and, like, recovery and no complications to speak of.
There was no big drama.
Yeah.
I think, so when I was doing a bit of research about this, I found an article in Time magazine called The Juno Effect. It was essentially saying that this movie had quite a negative impact on American society, that the year after this, so this movie came out in 2007, and that the year after this movie came out, there was a 3% uptick in teen pregnancy. The article focused on a particular school in Michigan that they described as a Catholic enclave where 17 freshmen, I think they called them girls, so 16-year-old girls, were pregnant in the same class, which was four times as many as the year prior. And that when the school nurse and the principal investigated it, that the girls had all made a pact to get pregnant.
Because of that movie?
Well, because of the glorification of pregnancy in this movie. And it, not just this movie, although the article was called The Juno Effect, it was this movie and Knocked Up. And a psychologist in a different article, but referencing this Time article, said that pregnancy, the way it was portrayed, particularly in Juno, is portrayed as a redemption arc. It was fun and it was cool, but that it was sort of like a big reset on, it could be perceived as a big reset on these girls' lives.
I'm really dumbfounded by all the things you just said.
I know.
I feel like they watched different, both of those movies we have reviewed in this series so far. It's also
worth noting that this all was bubbling away around the time of Sarah Palin.
Uh-huh.
And her 17-year-old daughter was pregnant.
Uh-huh.
And it was big media fodder in America that she had a teen pregnant daughter. This is also around the time where the show 16 and Pregnant rose to fame.
Well, I think they're picking their names a bit fast here to call it the Juno Effect.
Yes.
Because this was not a particularly... I don't think that there was much glory in this. She was the weird kid to begin with, and then she got ostracized during that. Like, all her friends, there's a quote that I wrote down that she was referred to as the precautionary whale. Everybody was like, that's what happens when you have sex, and, like, really demonizing her.
I don't think that this movie glorified pregnancy, but I'm saying that as...
Yeah, we're not 16.
A 35-year-old woman. It's worth noting, too, that this turned out to be sort of a blip in the statistics, and that the statistics went back to normal the year after and then dropped the year after that. There was some really big campaigning, though, in America a couple of years after this movie to try and stop the surge of teen pregnancies.
Uh-huh.
And
so everybody decided that contraception was a thing that all teens should know about?
Yes, it was really interesting, though, with this article about the 17 girls, that yeah. the school nurse and the school doctor tried to make it that they could initiate contraception at the school.
Uh-huh.
Because they're allowed to do pregnancy tests at the school. They said, in fact, that they had issued 150 pregnancy tests during this surge, but that they weren't allowed to initiate any contraception, and that the girls had to go 30 kilometres to the next town over to get contraception. But the school board absolutely refused.
Sorry, to get, if we're talking about the pill, to get the pill, like to get the prescription or the drug?
The prescription, to have any access to birth control at all.
Can we stop reviewing American movies? This is a hellscape.
So the nurse and the doctor at the school were told, absolutely not, you can't initiate contraception, and they quit in protest. When we're talking about whether this movie was a positive depiction of pregnancy and birth, Diablo Cody, who wrote the movie,
uh-huh.
has in more recent times said that she would never write this movie again. If she was writing it in today's society, she wouldn't write this movie. And that's a bit two-pronged. First of all, that a few years after this movie came out, a Catholic archdiocese somewhere in America wrote to her and said, thank you so much for making this pro-life movie that you made, which was never Diablo Cody's intention.
I guess technically they're right that it's a pro-life movie, but it's not really a pro-life movie.
Yeah, I mean, they're saying that this movie, first of all, you know, had very high viewing numbers, did very well at the box office, is pretty well received by people, that it shows a teen pregnancy going to term, and it shows adoption, and it shows that you don't have to get an abortion. Juno didn't get an abortion, so therefore is a good thing.
Yeah, and the other prong?
The changes to abortion law in America. She felt like she couldn't write this movie now.
Right.
With the way abortion is being treated in America, so the overturning of yep. Roe v. Wade. And I think for me, having done that research and having looked at some of the periphery stuff to this movie, it makes me see it less positively.
Yeah.
I didn't think it had a negative spin on pregnancy and birth. I didn't think it was overly positive because...
Yeah. No, well, Juno, the primary decision that Juno is making in this movie is, shall I destroy my life or not?
Yes.
In her mind, at the very least.
Yes.
Shall I destroy my life and a kid's life by having this kid to myself?
Yes.
With another teen as a dad? Or do I pass it off to somebody who's going to give it a better life?
It's not an amazing birth scene. You know, it's very much, you know, medicalized.
Mm.
Birth, yeah, reading this stuff about the so-called Juno effect and about the lens that has been applied to this as a pro-choice versus pro-life movie really tainted my feelings about it, and to the point where I don't feel that it is very positive about pregnancy and birth.
So we're mixed, right? Mixed is the answer.
Yeah, mixed about positivity. Was it entertaining?
I think it would have been entertaining had I watched it in 2007. As a 35-year-old or as a whatever old I was then.
I thought it was a really entertaining movie when I saw it back in 2007. And I did see it a few other times after that. And it's quirky. It's funny. Yeah,
that nature of it is a bit played out now in my mind.
It's dated. Yeah. Some of it's dated very poorly. I think the cast is good.
I did actually laugh quite a few times at some dumb side jokes that weren't even part of the main plot. Some of the things that Dad said made me laugh, which maybe that's because I'm a dad now.
Maybe. But, yeah, there were interactions in this movie that were heartfelt and funny.
Yeah.
It was enjoyable. Did very well.
Yes.
At the box office. It was very much, I think, made like an indie movie. Well, it had a pretty good budget for...
Yeah, 6.5 mil for an indie movie. I don't know if they were big names then yet, but definitely some up-and-comers.
They were very much up-and-comers because...
Oh, no, never mind. They also had every other person in the cast, aside from the main two, were all, like, known entities of that.
Good chemistry in the cast.
Yeah, they achieved the goals they were going for in the chemistries that they had.
So, yes, all in all, an entertaining movie.
That's it for today.
If you would like to contact us or find our socials, please check the show notes for links.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Birth on Film.